Welcome to the Daily Success Show. I'm your host, Jamila Payne, and I'm on a mission to help millions of women take control of their work life. So if you want to be more productive, increase your earnings, and have time for self-care, then you're in the right place.
Daily success, daily success, and the week ahead. Be excellent, make money moves, achieve your goals, transform your life, one routine at a time. Daily success, daily success, go and get yours, you better go get yours.
Recently, I had a corporate client who wanted to schedule a meeting at 7:30 p.m. because a lot of their team is on a different time zone. However, I've been practicing having a hard stop for work around 7 p.m. unless I'm in a production season, which is usually when we're doing some really big projects at Daily Success Routine. Now, I'm going to be honest and say that I felt really torn about what to do. And this was largely because two competing values were at stake. First was my own self-care and quality of life. And second is my desire and value to create an excellent customer service experience. Now, we've all had to make these kind of calls from time to time. What often happens is that guilt drives the decision. You'd rather sacrifice yourself then let someone down. There was this idea in my head that I wasn't being easy to work with if I suggested a different time. Then there's just the reality of by 7:30, you're just not getting my best work, right? So why would I want to set up a meeting with a client at 7:30 if I know that what they want us to do on that call is generate creative ideas, and that's just not my best time of day to do that in an external facing way. So what do you do when you're in this kind of situation? So I'll tell you what I did, but it was really driven by this idea of being in integrity with myself and getting guilt out of the driver's seat in life. And I really want to invite you in this episode to just think about that. Like, how can you get guilt out of the driver's seat? So what I ended up doing was I did a little research and looked at the time zones, you know, sent them some suggestions like, hey, I'm looking at the US versus the other time zones of the team. And here is what seems to be the sweet spot that would work for everybody. Is it possible for us to move to one of these times? Those times didn't seem to work for the team, but we did ultimately end up finding a better time that worked for everybody. And I felt really proud of myself for standing up for my value for self-care. And I hope that just encourages you. And if you are in that situation, you know, right now or ever, where you feel torn between like sacrificing yourself for work or doing something that really matters to you, it'll just free you, right? Like, allow you to get free from the guilt. When you don't make the decision to do something and you just stay in idle discomfort about like, oh, I don't want to do this, then the situation starts lingering in your mind. And that's also something that you don't want to happen. A mentor of mine said to me once, and I'll never forget this, and it sticks with me. Don't let people and problems live in your head rent free. So today, I want to share things that you can do starting right now to free yourself from guilt. The way that we're going to kick off today's episode is I'm going to take you behind the scenes of a interview that I did with Tiffany Dufu, who is the author of Drop the Ball. And I also shared another excerpt from an interview with Tiffany Dufu on a recent podcast episode called Why You Should Create a Career Portfolio. So definitely go and check that episode out. The interview is amazing as well. So Tiffany agreed to serve as a mentor for our Achiever Club members. So this is kind of a little taste of what our members get inside of the Achievers Club. So I'm going to go ahead, share that interview with you, and then I'm going to come back and give you 5 ways to free yourself from work guilt. Okay, so 5 ways to free yourself from work guilt, things that you can start absolutely doing right now. All right, let's jump into this interview. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that you share in the book that I think would also be helpful. And one of them was this idea of being able to break through the guilt. I think that's really, really important, especially for women. So I just want to share, you know, a story of something that you have overcome in terms of being able to break through the guilt and how to manage that. Because I think if you get through the mindset of, yes, I deserve to do this, it's okay to have time, it doesn't mean that you don't then feel guilty for what you're not doing. I mean, man, as women, we have so many things to overcome.
Yeah. So
if you could talk about that breaking through the guilt.
Yes, I would love to ban guilt. I'm hoping that Drop the Ball can help jumpstart that revolution. I meet with a lot of women. I usually connect with women on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9, 10, and 11 when I'm not traveling in person, kind of one-on-one. I've done this since 2013. I've met with over 1,000 women. I've never connected with a woman who wasn't every day trying to do right by herself, by her community, by her family. And yet, most of them feel on an ongoing basis that they've committed some kind of moral transgression or that they've done something terribly wrong in the process of just living their lives. And that's what guilt is. So I think the first thing is to really understand what guilt is. It is a feeling, an insidious feeling that you've done something terribly wrong. And I think understanding what guilt is important because then the next question is, well, what have I done that's wrong? Okay. And let me tell you what you've done that's wrong. Okay. So that then you can figure out, well, what is it that I'm supposed to do that's right? Okay. Mm. Each one of us enters our life playing certain roles. If you're a woman, your first role was probably daughter. If you're a man, it was probably son. If you have siblings, you become a sister, a brother, friend, student, worker, husband, wife, mother. If you're an ambitious person, which everyone that's listening to this I'm sure is, you by default put the word good in front of all of your roles. Okay, so it's not sufficient to be a daughter. You strive to be a good daughter. You strive to be a good student, a good worker, a good wife, a good mother. Okay. And what I've discovered in connecting with so many women is that even though we're born in different parts of the world with different cultures, different values, different parents, somehow we all ended up with the same job description for what it means to be a good anything. Mm. Okay. I'm the oldest of 4 girls. In my good sister job description, it says I need to respond to my little sister's text messages within 2 minutes. Okay. I have turned off my phone for this engagement because I'm certain there's at least one saying I need $100. In my good mom job description, everyone's, there's a line that says you need to be physically present when your child takes their first steps. Okay, I cannot tell you the number of women who come into my booth. They're all stressed because they have a work event. They've got to travel for it. They just know that as soon as that plane takes off, their child that's about a year old is going to start walking. They will have missed this momentous occasion and it will have meant that they're a bad mother. Mm. Okay, this is despite the fact that no one can tell me that they remember who was there when they took their first steps. Okay. Yet this is apparently a really important event in a child's life that if you miss means you're a bad mom. Okay. There are lots of things in these job descriptions. The thing when you're feeling guilty, okay, and by the way, we have adopted these job descriptions from our parents, what we saw them do, what we saw role modeled, popular culture. I grew up on The Cosby Show, so I was going to be Claire Huxtable. You know, there's choosy moms, choose GIF advertising. It's coming at us, and it's come at us ever since we were a baby, and someone wrapped us in either a blue or a pink blanket, okay? What we have to do is recurate our job descriptions. When you feel guilty, okay, what you've done wrong, that feeling that I'm doing something wrong, is you're not living up to the job description that society handed to you. Okay, that's what you're doing wrong. And I put that in quotes. The best way to manage guilt is to create a new job description for yourself that matches who you are in your life and what matters most to you, so that when Cynthia, okay, says, as you're sitting in your child's recital, well, you know, if you would attend the piano practices, your child would sound like those other children that sound like they should be playing at Carnegie Hall. Okay. When she starts doing that, okay, you can stop and you can engage in a very important exercise, a guilt-ridding exercise, which is to separate the value, what it is that is really important to you, from the behavior that everyone in the world has associated with that value that isn't a part of your job description anymore. Okay? So when I'm sitting in that piano recital, one of the things that I think is important is to invest in my child, investing, you know, in my children and in their potential, right? To be musicians, to be artists, to be scientists, whatever that is. Somewhere in the world, someone assigned the behavior of a mother attending a piano practice to the value of investing in your children, mm-hmm. okay, yeah. and their potential, okay? But I didn't do that. Somebody else did that, and I feel guilty because I'm now putting those together and because I'm not fulfilling that other job description. So the best way to get rid of that is to do some pre-work to figure out what's in your job description. Okay, one of the things that matters most to me is raising conscious global citizens. Okay, that's more important to me than my kids going to Harvard or anything else. Okay, one of the things that I do very well with very little effort, getting back to my highest and best use, is helping people to achieve clarity through guidance and encouragement. People would say that I would make a good coach, okay, if that was a business. By the way, that is not one of my verticals because I wouldn't make nearly as much money as I would with the coaching, with the speaking practice. Okay, that's a tangent. One of the things that only I can do that would be difficult to delegate is instilling values in my kids. Okay, so my highest and best use in raising a conscious global citizen in my daughter is engaging her in meaningful conversations each and every day. What kind of day did you create for yourself today, honey? Who did you laugh with today? If an alien spaceship came to your school today and abducted one person, who would they have abducted today? Why would they have abducted that person? And in that way, I can help her to develop a good relationship with herself, with her community, hopefully eventually the world. That is one of the really important lines in my good mom job description. Okay. Yeah. There are other things in there, making scones because they negotiated that. But you know, there are some things in there. So in the moment when I'm sitting in the piano recital and I'm feeling the guilt over the fact that my child doesn't sound like the other kids and it's because I haven't been to the piano practice, I can stop and I can say, Tiffany, divorce that. You've got the behaviors that you've associated with what it means to invest in your children and their potential. It involves having those meaningful conversations with them every day, which you do every day. It involves making the scones, which they happen to think is a really important thing. You've got that, okay? You're an extraordinary mother. That's how I get rid of the guilt. And I'm drilling down to one specific example because, and I have multiple ones a day, but I think it's really important that we do the pre-work of retooling the job descriptions that we have for what it means to be a good worker, a good entrepreneur, a good friend, so that when we come to the moment where we're feeling guilty over the fact that we're not fulfilling somebody else's job description, we can remind ourselves that's their job description. That's the world's story. I've curated my own story and I'm living my own story. And yeah. You can feel confident that that's what you're doing.
I love that. I think that's an awesome tool to, in a really practical way, to be able to get clear about what you should focus on and know, have your own measure for, am I excelling the way that I want to excel or not?
That's it.
Have you gone through that job description with your kids and then the same for your husband and work? Have you taken those and kind of shared them with the people that you're in those different areas of your life?
Well, here's what I do with the people, and kids are interesting because they're getting older now, with anyone who I want to engage in a meaningful way in my life and in my journey, which is pretty much every, you know, one in my family, really close friends. I do have conversations with them around what my highest and best use is and what I want to work on, I largely have these conversations because I need help. So often I need these other people to do things to help support me in that. And I don't want them to feel like I'm just dumping work on them. I want them to feel like they're a part of my journey and my process. And so I do have conversations in which I would say to my husband, for example, babe, you know, I've been feeling really stressed lately. And he's like, yeah, I know you've been feeling kind of the brunt of that. I've been doing some exercises. I'm really clear about what matters most to me. It involves you and raising conscious global citizens and changing the world for women and girls. I've got a lot of stuff on my list that I feel like isn't really laddering up to that. I've been kind of thinking about retooling my job description. There's a few things that I would love, you know, for you to do. You're my biggest cheerleader, but I also want to check in with you to see whether or not if I focus on these things, will you feel that I'm fulfilling my responsibility in being a good wife? Because I do want to be a good wife to you. Like, what are your expectations? What do you most need from me? And those are the kinds of conversations that we often don't have with people in our personal lives, but that are really life-changing, largely because every single time I've had a conversation with another person who I love about what it means to be a good whatever it is in relationship to them, I find that their expectation or what they need from me is much lower than the expectation I had of myself.
Right.
And so it's allowed me to drop the ball.
Right. Yeah, I think that's well said. I've definitely had that experience, particularly in relationships where I was doing things that I thought that they wanted, right? But what they actually wanted was a different thing. And so it was easy to be like, oh man, I don't even have to do all of that.
Right.
you just want me to make dinner one night a week?
Yeah. You just want me to make scones?
Right. Yeah. Right. So easy. Okay. So you brought up a really good point, which is then team. So you talked a little bit about making the leap on the admin. Can you talk about how else do you create your team? So I'm thinking about it more broadly, and then we can maybe talk a little bit more specifically after that in terms of specific around your partner, your life partner.
Yeah. So the team, and you know, it's different if you are working in a company and you've got an employer and you're recruiting, you know, you're a manager and you're recruiting your team. I think about it a little bit differently now as an entrepreneur and as someone with a portfolio career. I think about my team in the context of advancing and supporting other women. So remember that that's my passion and that's my purpose. So I first am really clear about the things that I don't do very well, that I have no business doing because either I don't have the relationships, the connections, I don't have the talent, I don't have the gifts, I have had no practice doing this. And those are the things that I'm really clear. I need to go out, I need to recruit someone to be a part of my team in order to make this happen. I love win-win situations in which I can identify another woman entrepreneur who is really, really good, like at the top of her game in the area that I'm not very well in. So I'm really good at finding people who are really talented and who have an interest also in having a portfolio career, okay, or their side hustle or entrepreneurship. And basically saying to them, look, I need this. I want you to be a part of my team because I also want to amplify you and who you are and your business. And in addition to paying you, which often I don't have like a ton of resources to be able to give them what I feel would be their market rate, I very intentionally support them in securing other clients. Okay. Because remember, I meet with women every Tuesday and Thursday at 9, 10, and 11. So I have like a pretty robust network of women who could also benefit from some of the things that some of the people on my team are doing. When I'm actually building a business or practice, I often will find women who are like me. So I believe that all boats rise with the tide. Public speaking is a good example of that. I basically, when I was starting my public speaking practice, found a group of other women. It was four of us who wanted to do it together. And basically we refer business to one another. And that's how we kind of all grew our practices. So, you know, it depends on what kind of business you're engaged in, what kind of side hustle you have, whether or not you have an employer and you're managing other people. By the way, the whole idea of recruiting people who are smarter than you or are really good at what they do, even as a manager in a company, I always prioritize that and focused on that. But I use my network to figure out, who out there can support me. And sometimes it doesn't work. For example, I have really needed support with my social media and managing my social media. And I've hired 4 different people probably over the past couple of years, none of whom has it really worked. So now I'm managing my social media, myself. And it's a really good exercise for me now because I'm learning a lot about social media, about community, about audience engagement. At some point, I definitely probably need to bring someone in to manage that. So, it's not always that you have all the things that you need at your disposal.
Right.
Be able to build your team. Sometimes there are times like now where it's like, I'm just going to have to do this myself until I figure that piece out. But I wouldn't be anywhere without a team of people to support me.
Do you leverage the talent of your assistant even in your corporate role, or do you kind of keep her focused on your speaking engagements and other verticals that you're working in?
So I do everything because there's really only one Tiffany, and I decided a long time ago that everybody's just going to get the same Tiffany. My kids get the same Tiffany that my clients get, that my husband gets. And because my life is so integrated, it would be really difficult for me to have administrative support in any one of the verticals, right? So I have one calendar and I have one person who manages that calendar. And regardless of whether or not it's a Levo meeting, whether or not it's a meeting with one of my clients, whether or not it's a book event, whether or not it's I need to prepare for the Simmons board meeting, having one person who understands what's going on in my life, including but that morning she's got a parent-teacher conference, is really critical for me and allows me to ensure that I'm fulfilling all of my commitments. So for me, it's important that it's one person.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. That's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about it in terms of the partner. I know that you talk about in the book gender roles and being cautious of adapting any gender roles that might be preventing women from being able to get the support that they need from their partner. So could you talk about the things that you have identified that are holding women back from getting the support that they would like, getting help at home or support that they would like from their partners?
Sure. One of the ironies of my life is that for most of my career, I publicly advocated for the disruption of gender stereotypes, okay, and traditional gender roles in the public sphere and in the workplace. I was a D&I, diversity and inclusion practitioner. The irony of my life is that at home, I didn't practice diversity and inclusion at all, okay? Mm-hmm. At home, I didn't disrupt gender stereotypes. I was pretty much on Stepford Wife autopilot. And my Stepford Wife autopilot in my personal life at home was made even more complicated by the fact that I had a very bad case of HCD, that's home control disease. Basically, when you feel that everything under your roof should be done a particular way, which is basically your way. And for me, it manifested in all kinds of ways that made true partnership at home difficult. Okay, so as a very practical, tangible example, I used to cook all the time. I don't anymore, but I've dropped the ball. But I used to cook all the time, which meant that there were always leftovers in the refrigerator. Let's say on Monday I made meatloaf, and on Tuesday I made fajitas, and on Wednesday I made fried chicken. On Thursday, if my husband was home alone and I was at some work event, I would expect him to eat the meatloaf first, okay? Because I had a running expiration date in my head for all of the leftovers that would be in the refrigerator. And when I would come home and I'd seen that he'd eaten the chicken, I would be really annoyed. And he would pick up on that. And he would say, "Wrong, babe." And I would say, "You ate the chicken," right? And he would say, "Oh, I really like your chicken." And I would say, "So you don't like my meatloaf?" Right? And then he would know not to say anything after that. Okay, so the difference between meatloaf and fried chicken, when we have seemingly bigger things to worry about, like equal pay for equal work or public policies or all of that, is really important because if you add up all of my HCD, everything from it being important that the hangers in the closet were facing the same direction, or that the towels in the linen closet were folded a certain way, or that we retrieved the mail, you know, from the mailbox every day. All of these little things amounted to a lot of emotional labor and a lot of drive for perfection at home that made it very difficult to engage anyone and made it very difficult for me not to just end up with an enormous amount of household labor and responsibility and enormous amount of caregiving. Okay, because what happens when you feel that everything in your home should be done a certain way and you're overwhelmed and you've got a lot on your plate is that you default to this false efficiency that, well, let me just do it. Let me just do it and get out the way since I can do it better than everybody else. I'm going to do it faster than everybody else. And I don't have time to delegate. I don't have time to teach somebody else how to do it. They're going to do it wrong anyway, right? These narratives that we tell ourselves means that you end up with an enormous amount of work. It also means that, unfortunately, gender stereotypes and traditional gender roles are reinforced in early childhood and aren't disrupted. Okay. This is particularly true for women who work outside of the home. All moms are working moms, but some of us work outside of the home and get paid for our labor. And one of the misnomers of women who work outside the home is that they're being a role model for their children of either women's empowerment or the future, that they're being modern women. The challenge is that unless you have some unique situation where you're taking your children to work every day with you, your children are not seeing what you do outside of, okay? You're dropping them off at school, you're dropping them off at a caregiver. And particularly if you are battling the huge G word, which is guilt, when you're with your kids, then you largely feel this pressure to devote the time to them, okay?
Right.
You don't feel like you can work when they're around. So just think about from a child's perspective. Think about a very small child whose primary experience with their mother is in them being a caregiver for them, okay? It's very, that child naturally is going to grow up with this notion, this ideal deep down inside that that is actually women's primary role,
right,
to be a caregiver, to partake. And that's part of the reason why we end up with this same cycle of expectations around women and what we can do and what we can be, because even though you might be this high-powered attorney that's won all of these awards, your five-year-old knows you as the person who like purees food and makes their lunch. That's what they grow up thinking. That women. So, you know, one of the important things, of course, we can do, and I talk about in the book, is really disrupting those norms at home and, you know, making them more visible. I don't know if that's helpful in answering your question,
yeah,
but that's part of the challenge.
Okay. Awesome.
Planner Palooza is back. If you have not attended our Planner Palooza, then you definitely don't want to miss this. If you've been looking for a sign to help you get your business organized and stop creating every single thing from scratch, then this is it. Planner Palooza is a 4-day challenge where I'm going to do free workshops for you that would help you to really get some serious systems in place. Day one, we're talking about systems you need to automate and grow your business. Day two, we're going to get into knowing your numbers, how high earning business owners track and manage income even when they don't feel like they're good at numbers. On day three, we're tackling planning a weekly work schedule to get more done without long hours. And on day four, we're talking about working less stress, how to build a team and stop doing everything yourself. All the Planner Palooza magic takes place June 3rd to the 6th with workshops every day. To get all of the details, you just have to sign up. In order to do that, go to dailysuccessroutine.com, click the Planner Palooza button to get all of the information and RSVP now. Join Planner Palooza so that you can set up a process for onboarding your clients, managing communication, and getting paid. Know where your business stands financially and stop wondering if or when the money's coming in. Finally, plan your color-coded calendar and priority projects and focus more on being the CEO of your life and business. To join Planner Palooza, go to dailysuccessroutine.com and click the link in the menu for Planner Palooza to RSVP today and get all of the details. I will see you there.
So here's the thing. There are lots of things, you know, that I don't do. people can't see what you don't do. Okay. So you've seen me, you know, for the past hour or so, you know, on this webcast, it's like she does all of these things, but there are lots of things that I don't do that make it possible for me to be able to have this life that I have. Okay. For example, I've never seen an episode of Scandal. Some people find it absolutely aghast that I've never seen
it. I'm okay. So proud of you.
Okay. But I don't. In fact, I don't really watch television. Okay. I have a sense of culturally what shows are on and what they mean. But because I'm a bookworm, I choose to spend whatever leisure time I have in, you know, deep in a book than I do watching television. I also don't do things that other people would find like kind of weird or cruel. One of them is that I don't play with my kids. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, my mom was like, y'all go play. So that's what I do. I tell my kids, you guys go play. Sometimes I listen in on their play and I chime in when I feel like I want to disrupt some gender stereotypes. My son is 11 and the other day he was like, Mom, can we just play without the social commentary? You know, because I'm always like, oh, you're a princess. Like, what exactly does that mean in terms of like, and my kids are so through with me for that. But I time box. So I have blocks of time in my calendar. And during those time blocks, that's all I focus on is what's on the plate. I don't respond to text messages unless it's a child or unless it's my husband. I'm not checking my email. I have a time block for social media. I have a time block for meetings. And the other thing that's been very helpful for me, because I used to be the queen of to-do lists. So I used to always feel overwhelmed because I always had these lists of things that I was supposed to have gotten to. And I would have all of these different apps to help me organize my to-do lists. And Jamila, I know, has like all of these, you know, tips and strategies for managing this. I have done away with all of my to-do lists. Now, all I have is my calendar. If something comes over the fence, Tiffany, can you read this book and blurb it for me? Tiffany, can you review this pitch doc? Tiffany, can you meet with me? I look at the calendar and I see, okay, it would take me, I don't know, 5 hours to like really absorb this book and like do a billboard. Where is the 5 hour block of time to do that? If I can find it and I think it's something valuable or worthy, I'll add it. Mm-hmm. If I can't find the 5 hour block, I respond to the person saying, I'm so sorry, but I just don't have the bandwidth. I can't find a block of time in my calendar to do it. If it's something that's so important, but I can't find the block of time, what using the calendar forces me to do is to see what did I commit to in the past that now I'm no longer going to be able to do. Okay. So that I can communicate with the person who's on the calendar already, who I already said yes to a month ago, but now I'm going to have to go back to them and say, I'm so, so sorry. I can't serve on this board now, or I can't, I know that I said, yes, I could do this, but I can't do it now because I've got something else that I need to replace that slot. So I have a lot of clarity about what I can actually accomplish and what I can commit to and what I can't. And the most rewarding part of that exercise is in deflecting a lot and realizing that, gosh, Tiffany, you used to say yes to everything when obviously it was never humanly possible for you to be able to do all of the things that you were saying yes to. So those are some of, you know, my strategies and some of the way that I manage the time. But I don't feel any of the G word anymore for letting someone know. I really appreciate it. I always start with gratitude. I really appreciate that you thought of me for this, but I don't have the bandwidth to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to add it to my calendar.
That interview was so good, right? All right, let's jump in and do this together. I want to give you 5 ways to free yourself from work guilt. So number one, and Tiffany explained this beautifully, is to rewrite the job description for roles that you play in your life. So this could be the role as mom, committee chair, sister, daughter, board member, church leader. It doesn't matter. You want to create a description, review it with the necessary people to make sure that you're on the same page.
So you might be doing the work of what you believe is the best thing in terms of being a mom, but it might not be the expectation that your children have. Or you might be doing the work of being a great spouse, or what you believe to be a great spouse, but your significant other may have a completely different vision for what it means to show up as a great spouse. To give an example, I have a client who thought being a good mom was making food from scratch. And so she would come home from work and literally start making everything from scratch. Like, if they were having a spaghetti dinner, she was pulling out the pasta maker and like stringing her spaghetti as homemade, which is fabulous if you know how to do that. But it was taking up so much of her time. So she's making these elaborate, you know, 2-hour meals with her family. And I asked her whether or not she had a conversation with her hubby and kids about making these elaborate meals and whether or not they saw value in that. She said that she hadn't asked them, but this was something that she really enjoyed and she thought they enjoyed it. And she felt like it was a part of her being a great mom. So I said, okay, well, why don't you just ask your family and get feedback on it? So she asked her husband and kids, and they were like, absolutely not. Like, we'd rather have the time to spend with you. Like, we could get pizza, right? Or pick up a container of spaghetti. You don't actually need to make everything from scratch.
So what descriptions are you making up, and are they necessary for what others in your life value? So write the job description and then have the conversation. Okay, number 2 is to let go of gender roles. This is a big one. You know, that idea that men should do certain tasks like take out the trash instead of cook dinner is absolutely bogus. You get to decide what your relationship looks like, and not society and not your family. So on a recent trip to visit a friend, me and my guy cleaned up after dinner. Now, I kind of jumped in right after dinner and offered to clean up. And then as I got a significant portion of that done, my guy offered to help. He could see, like, okay, I was getting tired. He's like, hey, do you need some help? Now, my friend was shocked and she's like, no, no, no. She just didn't want him to help because she has a value, or in her culture, it's very rooted in men being catered to and not having to do any things around the house. But I insisted, like, no, it's okay that he's helping me. We are a team, and this is how we operate as a team. It's very important to think about, are there certain gender roles that you're holding? Are there gender roles that other people are imposing on you that you have adopted, and maybe that's not how you want your household to work or how you want your relationship to work? All right, so think about, is that a place where you can let go of some guilt and be able to get some work done because you're not completely bogged down in household chores that are tied to gender beliefs or false gender identity roles? Okay, number 3, I love this one, is to make a list of what you don't do. It's easy to get clear on the laundry list of things that you do, you can do, you are capable of doing, but have you ever considered what activities you shouldn't be doing? Like, is graphic design not your jam? Let it go. Suck at admin? Then it's a bad idea to sink time into mastering things that drain you energetically. Now, I'm not suggesting that you just don't do things because you don't feel like it, or if you're at the early phase of your business, sometimes you have more time than money, and so you have to put in the sweat equity to get things done yourself until you get beyond that point. But know that you should not be doing every single thing at home and at work. So make a list of what you don't do. Now, I just decided that I really no longer want to do the deep cleaning in my house or fold and put away laundry. I don't actually mind
washing clothes, but I've noticed that I really delay on the folding and putting it away because it does not drive me energetically. And that this is so true for so many things in our lives. So I started brainstorming about ways that I could have someone take over the execution of my weekly reset routine on Saturdays, at least the domestic labor part, so that I could focus on my best work and the things that are more important to me, more best use of my time. I want you to think about that. What is the list of things that you don't want to do? And if you don't have a weekly reset routine, then you definitely want to check out episode 10, Create a Weekly Reset and Get Your Life Together. All right, number 4, cut out things that are outside of your unique ability. Dan Sullivan, who is the founder of a business called Strategic Coach, he also wrote a book called Unique Ability. Now, a unique ability is a combination of things that you're really good at and also have a superior passion for. Think about your unique ability as a factory installed item inside of you that you've been doing since childhood. Now, Dan happens to have a cool checklist that will provide you with 6 clues for identifying your unique ability. And I'll link to that in the show notes and description, which you can find at shows.dailysuccessroutine.com. Okay, number 5 is to priority block your calendar. You might have heard of calendar blocking, but priority blocking is different. Traditional calendaring prompts you to put everything that you need to do on your calendar. The big problem with that is other people's priorities usually go first. Meetings, appointments, play dates, all the things that you're not necessarily looking forward to doing. Priority blocking, which is a daily success practice, is something that you do once for a period of time, let's say 3 or 6 months, however long it is that you expect things to be generally the same in your life. So you block out your calendar with all of your most important priorities going onto the calendar first. Then you check in on those priorities on a weekly basis. Now, I don't want to take too much time here breaking down the entire priority blocking process. So I'll do a whole episode for you so you'll know exactly how to priority block your calendars. Sound good? All right. But the key here is make sure that your priorities go on the calendar first and not just a bunch of work meetings, appointments, and then other personal responsibilities, doctor's appointments, play dates, etc. All right, so there you go. That's 5 ways to free yourself from work guilt. Let me run those down for you again. So number 1, rewrite the job description for the roles that you play in your life. 2, let go of gender roles. 3, make a list of what you don't do. Number 4, cut out things that are out of your unique ability zone. And number 5 is to priority block your calendar. Okay, it's action taking time. I want you to choose any one of these 5 actions and apply it. Then send me an Instagram audio DM and let me know how it helped. And you can find me on IG at Jamila Payne. That's JamilaPayne. Let's continue the conversation over at shows.dailysuccessroutine.com on the post for this episode. And before we go, I just want to say something really important to you. You, your family, your spouse, your children needs to see you as a happy person who is living out their dream, because it's the only way that they will know how to fulfill their dreams. If you want to raise financially independent humans, show them that the income that you earn comes from effort. It's the work that you are doing, right? That allows you to earn. I think it's more important than ever in today's world that we make it clear to young people that money doesn't grow on trees.
And dreams only become a reality when you take action. So stop feeling guilty about what you want to go after and just live the best life possible. Take the steps that we discussed today to make achieving your goals a guilt-free zone.
Today's episode of the Daily Success Show is brought to you by my free masterclass. Managing work along with running a business and raising little people can be a lot for any woman. It's completely normal that you feel overwhelmed. To accomplish the bigger dreams that you have for yourself means learning a different approach to managing the work week that doesn't leave you stressed and feeling like you didn't properly manage your time or get enough done. To learn how to get control of your life, join my free masterclass. Make more money and have more time. Create your powerful work routine without stressing, wasting time, and feeling all over the place. Just go to dailysuccess.co/worksmarter to RSVP today. That's dailysuccess.co/worksmarter.
Hey, we don't have to wait until the next episode to hang out. So the next time you're on Instagram, YouTube, or Facebook, type Jamila Payne or Daily Success Routine into the search bar and you'll find more great tips, inspiration, and ideas to help you get organized, productive, and live your dream life.
Daily success, plan a week ahead, be excellent, make money moves, achieve your goals, transform your life, one routine at a time. Daily success, go and get yours. You better go get yours. Daily success. You better go get yours. Daily success.